Here we are in the church age, and we know by rightly dividing that we're different dispensations. We understand that after the cross, there was a New Testament, and the New Testament in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're at the church age at the end, at the Laodicean period, the end of the Laodicean period, waiting for the rapture, amen. Hopefully today. I'll tell you what, it'd be good to be singing "The Old Account Was Settled" or "Amazing Grace" or something like that when he called us out of here. Could you imagine that? The old account was settled long ago, and we just go, amen. Praise the Lord. But we're waiting for the rapture. We're looking for that glorious appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're waiting for this corruptible put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality. Lord, we're waiting to be changed to be look like you, Lord, to be glorified, have a glorified body, look like Jesus Christ, be more like him. And we're at the door of that. I believe we're at the door of that. It could happen any second. And then we go to the great tribulation time, the time of Jacob's troubles, the time appointed in Daniel's people, 7-year period that the Antichrist is on this earth, and he's trying to rule and reign, be like Jesus Christ. He didn't do a very good job of it, by the way, but he's going to do that. He's going to be here. And he might already be on the earth. He might already be ready. I believe he's probably set the stage, probably ready. We'll be out of here pretty soon, and he'll just take over this mess. But after that, we have a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. We go up to heaven during the tribulation. We at the judgment seat of Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We come back with Jesus Christ, the battle of Armageddon, and when Jesus Christ takes over, rules and reigns for 1,000 years on the throne of David, a literal physical reign on this earth. And that's where we're going to take off from today as we look at Revelation chapter number 20. It says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired," remember that 1,000-year period, the beast and the false prophet are cast in the lake of fire. The devil is bound for 1,000 years, so he can't influence man one way or the other. So here we are, "When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now I want to look at several things today, and I want to look beginning back at verse number 7 through 9. It says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." The first thing I want to see is the deceived and the deceiver. The deceived and the deceiver. Now bear in mind and remember, as we talk about this passage, remember what's going on here as we set the stage earlier. Jesus Christ had just ruled and reigned for 1,000 years on the throne of David, a perfect, perfect kingship. Perfect rule, perfect judgment, perfect everything on a regenerated earth. We talked about that in Sunday school. Because Jesus Christ took that crown of thorns on his brow, and because he shed his blood, and because he was beaten and marred for us, because his death, burial, and his resurrection, he can restore man, reconcile man with God. But he also regenerates this earth. He is able to sit on a regenerated earth because of what he done on Calvary. So on a regenerated earth where people have the peace that they claim they want, they just don't like the way they get it. What they say, what man says today when he's talking about peace, he means that they control everything, they run everything, and they have everything, and you don't give them any grief about it. That's their idea of peace. But when Jesus Christ comes back and rules and reigns, there's going to be a perfect peace with perfect judgment in a perfect situation, and the deceiver is loosed for 1,000 years after that 1,000-year period. He's loosed for a season, And in a short time, he's able to go around and gather people together and deceive them to go against God. Isn't that something? You realize he's doing that today? He's deceiving people? You know what he does? He deceives people and lets them. Here's what how he does it. He says, well, you know, just like he did in Genesis, you can be like God. You can make your own decision. You can make your own rules. You can do your own thing, your own way. And you can just go against God and everything will be all right. They're deceived. He deceives people into thinking that. He deceives people into thinking that, well, if you do things your way instead of God's way, you're going to get away with it. He's a deceiver. And people are being deceived. I talk to people all the time. You probably do too. And you talk to people and they say, well, you know, I believe that if that religion thing's good for you, I'm not into religion. I'm not into organized religion. I'm not into organized religion either. I'm into a Bible and a Savior, a relationship with Jesus, with God through Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ. But, you know, they'll get this stuff about, well, you know, if you're into that and that's what's good for you and that's what makes you feel better, that's what makes you sleep at night, whatever. That's what they'll say, you know, like there is no truth in the world, you know. And then they'll say, well, you know, whatever you believe is your truth and what I believe is my truth. And that's ridiculous because if we believe two different things and they're opposite, they can't both be right. Amen. That's there has to be an absolute truth. And we have it in the King James Bible. I believe that wholeheartedly. Don't doubt it for a second. Every jot, every tittle, every comma, every question mark, every period in there, every semicolon, every colon. I don't know why I get them things confused. The colons and semicolon. Look like the one that should call a semi should be a colon. Anyway, I believe all that stuff in there. Amen. I believe the chapter and verse markings. I've heard people say, well, you know, they did a poor job of the verse markings in the chapter. You study that thing out and you look at Bible numerics and AV 1611 and 16 times 11. In Psalm 119, 176 verses, you take Psalm, you take 16 times 11, you get 176. 176 verses on the Word of God in the book of Psalm. I don't think that's an accident. I believe the book. I believe we have truth. And I believe we have absolute truth. And I believe Jesus Christ is absolute truth. Amen. I believe that stuff. But the devil has deceived people into believing a lie. He's deceived people into believing they can be their own God, they can go against God, they can get away with it, and they can defeat God. He's deceived people into thinking that they can reason truth away with God. Yep. Oh, well, God will understand. No, God won't understand. He'll understand truth. He won't understand all the excuses. He'll understand. He understands you're going to make them. He understands people that are lost are going to make excuses, but the devil said, hasn't believed. Oh, God will just, he will just have to accept you. Well, that's not true. The only way he has to accept you is you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we've got the deceived and the deceiver. He gets them all together. He says, all right, we're going to go against God. I mean, 1,000 years of perfect rule and reign where things were actually right. I've never seen anything right in this world. I mean, I went through a whole day where things were just right. They're going to have 1,000 years of things being right, where Jesus Christ rules with a rod of iron, and the devil comes along and says, hey, you know what? We can go against God. We can get together and we can defeat God. We can defeat His people. We can do this. We can be like God. We can take this thing over. You know, that's what the devil wanted in Genesis 3. That's what the devil, when he's talking about in Isaiah 14, talking about him being like God and ascending aside, he'd be like the Most High. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be God. And you know, a lot of people just bow down and worship him. A lot of people give you a testimony selling their soul to the devil for money and fame and power. Say, well, this ain't real. This is just some kind of... Oh, is it? Ask the people out in Hollywood. Ask the sports stars. Ask the boxers and the different people that have asked the rock and roll musicians and all these people that have sold their soul to the devil and they're miserable. 100 years old out there running around, rickety old bodies out there trying to jump around, dance around, doing that devil's music because they done sold their soul. They got nothing else. Amen. They got nothing else. They have no God. They have no peace. They have no comfort. They have no satisfaction. Hey, that old Mick Jagger can't get no, he ain't going to get no satisfaction unless he trusts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. The only satisfaction there is trusting Jesus Christ, the Lord. Everything else will leave you unsatisfied. Everything else will leave you unsatisfied. We see the deceived and the deceiver. It just amazes me how God can be so good to us and the devil can deceive people into going against God. You know what's even crazier? Is the devil can deceive, save people into going against God. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about chasing the dollar instead of chasing the Savior. I'm talking about living for the lust of the flesh instead of the love of God. I'm talking about the deceived and the deceiver. You jump down to verse number 10 and it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. We see the deceiver destroyed. Isn't that something? Man, I'm looking forward to that. You know, first I want to see Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ because a good night If anybody can mess something up, it's me. Amen. Y'all in the same boat with me here? I mean, if you can mess something up, it could be done by me. I could do it, and Jesus Christ has been good to me. He saved my soul. I could split hell wide open if it wasn't for Him. I deserve it. I deserve it 10 times over. I'd be able to look over and say, Lord, you'd be right if you turned the thermostat up. Amen. But you know what He did? He saved my soul. He's been good to me. I can't wait to see Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see loved ones that are gone before us, all that stuff. But you know what? I can't wait to see the devil cast into a lake of fire forever. I can't wait for God to say it's finished and then throw him into a lake of fire and it'd be done. I can't wait for that. The deceiver, the one that's running around doing all the deceiving. Me and Scott was talking about that. Now, you know, there's a... And the Muslims out there and the Christians and Muslims debating, and you know, most of the time the Christian will back down. Yep. Love, love, love. He ain't backing down from them. We've got the truth. Amen. That's like somebody coming up in a Volkswagen Beetle trying to push your semi down the road backwards, and you're going, okay, I'll just back up for you. No, man. Put the pedal to the metal and go. You got the power. You got the truth. You got the power in the Word of God. You got the truth of the Word of God. Don't back down. Amen. I mean, you can do it. You can give the truth in love. You can give the truth in love. But the deceiver's out there doing his job. One of these days, the deceiver is going to be destroyed. Think about that. Apollyon and Abaddon, the destroyer. The destroyer is going to be destroyed forever. Everlasting destruction. Isn't that something? You know what? That's what God saved me from? He saved me from everlasting destruction and gave me everlasting life. If you're here today, you never have to go to hell if you're saved. Never. You know, it's not a temporary thing either. You know what it says about the beast and the false prophet? Where they are, they've been there 1,000 years and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Isn't that something? We see the deceived, we see the deceiver destroyed. In 11 through 15, we see the day of judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The deceived, the deceiver, the day of judgment. This is it. This is the last judgment. That's the end of it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the judgment of sin on Calvary. Praise God, the judgment of sin on Calvary. You know, there was a judgment back in Genesis chapter 6 with the flood. There was a judgment of sin on Calvary. There's judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. We can go through all kinds of judgments, different judgments in the Bible. There's a judgment of you. You're judged dead. Your flesh is judged dead and justified. You're justified at Calvary. When you get saved, you're judged dead. And you're justified because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that judgment. I'm not talking about the judgment seat of Christ where you take your semi in there, you can pull the horn, you pull this big old semi up, you dump out all your works, and then God goes, He hands you this half a cup of stuff at the end of it after the fire and says, here you go, that's what you got left. I'm not talking about that judgment, amen. I'm not talking about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about the last judgment. I'm talking about the judgment where the dead come up, the lost people, the unjust. I know there's some dispensational folks that get saved in different dispensations will be at that judgment. I'm talking about the judgment of the lost, not church-age saints. That judgment day is coming. You know what you know about the judgment, the great white throne judgment? It's predicted. It's prophesied in the Bible. It is going to happen. That's one of the ways the devil deceives people. Oh, you ain't gonna have to answer for your sin. You look at people and say, man, look at what they're getting away with. They're not getting away with it. They're just not getting punished right now. A lot of them are and you don't know it, but some of them aren't now. They're just not getting punished. They're getting away with it. But, well, you wouldn't believe it. And you look like people that try to do right and live right and love God, they get kicked in the teeth, kicked in the short, but they just kicked around like a golf ball on a Sunday morning when people ought to be in church sitting on the golf course. Amen. They just get beat half to death sometimes. And you see other people just living like the devil and you think, look what they're getting away with. Look what Bill Gates is getting away with. Amen. Look what Anthony Fauci is getting away with. Look at all these people are getting away with. They're not getting away with that stuff. They're serving the wrong God, but they're going to answer to the right God. And see, that judgment day is coming. It's predicted. It's prophesied. You know what else it is? It's pure. It's going to be a pure judgment. You know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:8? It talks about Jesus Christ, the righteous judge. You know what's going to happen at that judgment? I hope and pray you all saved. Y'all trust Jesus Christ, call on Him, you trust Him, and you don't have to worry about that. But think about this. Let's make hell real and judgment real again so we can get worried about souls. Amen. Think about this. Jesus Christ, a righteous judge. You know what that means? That means he's going to judge right.
Yep.
He's going to judge right. There's going to be nobody paying off the judge.
Right.
And that judge don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat.
That's right.
That judge don't care if you're a liberal or conservative. You know what he cares about? What you've done with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what he's worried about.
Yep.
That's what he's concerned about. That's what he's going to judge on. You know what else he's concerned about? His word. You know when them books are open, it says the books were opened, then another book was opened. There's more than one book open. I believe that King James Bible is going to be open.
Right.
I believe there's going to be a list of good works and bad works, and I believe that good works page is going to be real thin. Amen?
Amen.
All of our righteousness is filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. Man thinks they're doing good. No, boy, they're going to do this, and they're going to please God this way, that way, the other. Any way but what God wants. Amen. That's what they say. But that judgment is predicted. It's predestined. How about that? It's prophesied in Revelation. It's pure. People are going to be judged according to truth. According to truth. It's not going to be, well, I did that, but my neighbor did this. At least I wasn't as bad as the guy down the street. I wasn't like Jeffrey Dahmer or John Wayne Gacy or anybody like that. God's going to say, yeah, you were. Your heart was just as wicked. You just didn't do the same stuff. See, that judgment's going to be pure. He's not going to judge like we judge. He's going to judge righteous judgment. It's going to be a pure judgment. You know what else it's going to be? Let's look at what it says. In verse 15 it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." Now if you jump back over to verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Hey, that judgment is predictable. That judgment is pure. That judgment is permanent. That judgment is permanent. Hey, look, I hope you're all saved. I don't know your heart. God does and you do. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not saved, you better get saved because you get there, it's too late. It is permanent. That lake of fire, there ain't nobody coming out of that thing. You talk about Lazarus and the rich man back over in the book of Luke. Lazarus and the rich man, that rich man's still down there wanting water. He ain't getting it. It's not going to end. That judgment is permanent. There's not going to be a pardon. There's not going to be a commuted sentence. There's going to be time out for good behavior. There'll be none of that stuff. See, we like to look at things the way the world does. Well, how could a loving God put somebody in hell forever? He's not going to. You are. If you're not saved, you're going to put yourself there. He's given you the opportunity. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." All you got to do is trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You realize you're wicked as hell. You deserve to burn there. You trust in Jesus Christ. He paid your entire debt, and call on Him for salvation.
Amen.
I'm not talking about being dunked. I'm not talking about being a church member. I'm not talking about sitting in a church pew. I'm not talking about giving money. I'm talking about whether or not you realize you deserve to burn in hell, and Jesus Christ died for you. He shed His blood for you. He rose again with victory over death, hell, and the grave so you could have eternal life. If there's never been a time when you've called on Jesus Christ, not your grandma, not your mama, not your preacher, but you have called on Jesus Christ, said, "Lord, I am wicked. I deserve to burn in hell, and You paid my debt, and I'm trusting You. Please forgive me and save me." If there's never been that time, you'll go to hell forever. It's permanent. It's permanent. Do you realize something else? Do you realize there are people that we know that we are not comfortable talking to about the Lord that are going to burn forever?
Yeah.
Hey, if you talk to them and they spit in your face and they get upset with you and they get all cross-eyed, cross-wigged, and cross-turned and whatever cross they can get, they get all goofed up and they start hating on you and whatever and they say some stupid, mean stuff, then it's going to last for just a little bit of time and then it's going to go away. But when they go to hell, they're going to burn forever.
Yeah.
It's permanent. Permanent. No pardon, no commuted sentences, no retrials. Ain't nobody going to step up and say, "You know what? I think we should have a mistrial, but we should do this over again." Ain't nobody going to send a letter out of hell and God's going to say, "Okay, we'll reconsider that one." It's over. It's over. I mean, people burning in hell where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. That worm, if you're lost, is you. It's your soul that cannot be consumed but can feel pain. Forever. So sometimes these messages seem like they're forever. Amen? Hey, if you're lost, I want it to seem that way.
Yeah.
because I don't want you to die and burn in hell. Amen? If you got lost loved ones, people you know, hey, realize that when they die and they go to hell, it's forever. However upset they get, hey, if they disown you and never talk to you again, at least you tried. So why just love them, don't want to upset them? If you love them, tell them, hey, hell is forever. It's permanent. You don't get back out. It's not a temporary staging area like the Pope would like you to believe. It's not something where you go to and then, oh, good, you know, you get good time, plus you get time served, you know, get this and get that. After a while, you just, it burns it all, the chaff off, and you come back, you're there forever. It ain't something that any priest can flip his collar around, your family can come in and give them all their money, and they can go, well, blah, 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 and preach them out of there, or pray them out of there, or flip their beads till they're going forever.
Right.
They're not going to purgatory.
Amen.
Purgatory's Walmart, amen. They're not going to purgatory. They're going to hell. And they're going to burn forever. You know your mailman? If he ain't saved, he's going to go to hell and burn forever.
Right.
Why am I telling you that? Because you're in your mailbox every day. Put something in there for him at Christmas time. Give him a stinking cookie and a track. Amen?
Yeah.
Give him a Christmas card. Say, we thank you for the rain, sleet, hail, or snow. Our mail's always bent and late. Amen? But thank you for everything you do. We appreciate you.
Amen.
Make sure you're saved. Don't burn in hell forever. Amen? So we got to be nice to people, loving to people. If you're going to be nice and love them, tell them that hell's forever.
Amen.
Well, we don't want to upset them. They're going to be real upset when they're in hell forever.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, that great white throne judgment, it's predictable, it's predestinated, it's pure, it's permanent. You know who's going there? Oh, there's basically three groups of people that are going there. Basically three groups of people. You got the perverted people. You think, when I say perverted, you're thinking all kinds of weird stuff. I'm talking about the people that have the perverted mindset. The devil's deceived them. They got a perverted idea of God, a perverted idea of truth, perverted idea of what right and wrong is. You know, good's evil and evil's good. They got a perverted idea. They got some kind of a perverted idea, like we said earlier, that they can just live like they want and do what they want and run over whoever they want and just trample the blood of Christ and forget about that and forget about Him and mock Him and ridicule the Bible. They think they're going to get away with that. They're perverted. They think they're going to get away with that. You got the other perverted folks that think that, well, maybe I'll be good enough. That's a perverted thought. I mean, if you know, I mean, just be honest about yourself.
Amen.
Just take any 10, 15 minute window and just be honest when you're awake and just be honest, even in your dreams probably. But take about a half hour of your life and be honest with yourself about who you are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because people have a perverted view of who they are.
Yeah.
And you know why they have a perverted view of who they are? They got a perverted view of who God is.
Amen.
You say, well, Santa Claus isn't dangerous. Santa Claus is wicked as hell. Santa Claus is the devil.
Amen.
Santa Claus is a lie you tell your kids that damn them in hell. Amen. Oh, so, well, I tell you, we always worship Santa, and when my kids got saved, well, praise the Lord. But the exceptions prove the rule. Most kids don't. Because they believe some fat guy comes down a chimney and gives them stuff if they're good. And then they translate over in religion when they get older. You know what they're thinking? If I'm good, then God will give me stuff. No, He'll give you salvation if you're just honest. Just honest with yourself. Just get that perverted junk out of your head. Just think about stuff the way it really is. God is holy. God is right. God is good. God is truth. I am the opposite of that.
Amen.
God deserved to be in heaven, and He stepped down in here to keep me out of hell.
Okay.
See, the folks, the three types of folks that will be there, they'll be perverted. The perverted, they're going to be filled with perverted people, perverted thought processes. They've got all kinds of weird ideas, and they get to the white throne judgment, they're going to figure out they were wrong. You know what a lot of them are going to figure out? Nobody told them they were wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. They're going to figure out they had people that knew they were wrong that lived within 5 miles of them didn't tell them they were wrong. You know what else they're going to find out? A lot of their preachers didn't tell them they were wrong. Because
yep.
A lot of their preachers are either hirelings that could care less about their soul or they're lost too. Amen.
Amen.
They're not giving them the truth. Oh, there's going to be the perverted. You know who else is going to be there? The proud. Oh, it's going to be filled with proud people. I talk to them all the time. Hey, if you die today, you sure you go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good. I try to do this, I do that. You would, and they'll go on and on and on. Me, I. Oh, boy, they'll go on. They'll give you a list that you could just, if you wrote it down, you could wallpaper the wall in here with it of the stuff they do. They're proud.
Yep.
They'll split hell wide open, and it's permanent.
Yep.
It's permanent. They're going to hell forever if they're trusting in their works. Amen. So the proud will be there. The proud. See, well, the proud's the folks on the street that think, well, they don't need to go to church. They're just good enough, and they're going to give, you know, they're going to donate to this, donate to that, donate to the other, give it to Jerry's kids and all this other stuff, and, donate to Homes for Heroes. I do that. They want to give something to the veterans, praise the Lord, I'll give it to them. Amen? Would you give your 80 cents to the veterans, to the heroes? As long as the heroes are the ones wearing uniforms, not the ones dressed like clowns that are boys think they're girls. Because you don't know who the heroes are supposed to be anymore. If they're the real heroes, praise God, we ought to be taking care of them. Give them that extra 80 cents at Lowe's or whatever. Amen? So they can build a house for a hero. Somebody lost an arm or a leg or something like that. I'm all about that. But people think they're going to earn their way to heaven. Ain't going to happen. They're going to burn in hell forever. You got proud people that go to church every week. You know what they do? They sit in church thinking about how good they are. Amen? Amen. And sometimes they got a good preacher, they'll tell them that.
Yeah.
I mean a good preacher. He'll sit up there, boy, and he'll, well, you know, God is love. And since God is love, we should be love. And if we just love one another and God is love, then we'll just love our way to happiness. Well, outside these walls, people are killing each other, raping each other, stealing from each other, stabbing each other in the back. And then the people that are talking about love, they do the same thing.
Right.
They do the same thing. Oh man, that was a good sermon today. I just love sermons. Amen. I'm just a love sermon kind of guy. And that preacher sat up there, boy, love and smooth chocolatey coatings and all this stuff. And he won't tell anybody about hell. He won't tell anybody about the devil. He won't tell anybody they're wicked. And they sit in there and they're so proud because they're in church listening to the lovey-dovey stuff. And the truth is, the only thing you have to be proud of, if you're saved, you got to be proud of Jesus Christ and what He's done, and proud you got a book that'll get you on the right track and keep you there. You got nothing else. Nothing else. That was free, amen? Amen. Well, a good preacher would never tell me that. Well, yeah, a good preacher would tell you, you know, later, after it's too late. Sorry, you're in hell forever. Amen. But there are churches full of folks listening to that junk. And they're proud. Well, I belong to such and such church. We give to missions. Oh, really, what do your missionaries do? They're drilling wells around the world. Are they giving the gospel? I don't know, but I know they're drilling wells. Are you praying for them? No, but I give $8 once. And I'm just proud. I'm proud that I can take my money and donate it to the wells for the little kids in Haiti that I never have to see. For the little kids with Korsakoff syndrome, their little bellies are all swelled up because they don't have any protein. They got all kinds of messed up things going on because they don't have any food. I don't have to see them. I can just throw some money at it. And I'm proud. You know those people will split hell wide open if they haven't trusted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior? Church folks. I mean church folks. People that are religious, man. People that go to church on a regular basis. I mean, they do anything the preacher says to do. The only thing the preacher don't tell them to do is get saved and live right. Amen. Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey. Love them all the way to hell. People be judged that great white throne judgment of the perverted in thought, the proud. Man, this one really gets me. That third group of people I want to talk about for just a second is the procrastinators. The people that know they're lost. They know they're headed to hell. They know it's permanent. But they just want to put it off. I don't get that. I've stood face to face and nose to nose with grown men that told me, I believe what you're saying, but I'm not ready. Why? You know most of them that told me that, you know where they were? They were in a rehab facility. They were in a prison, man. They were in the slammer. Jail bars. Slam City where they ain't getting out. Some of them had life sentences. Some of them done 3 or 4 different stints on different things. They're in 15, 20 years down the road. Well, I'm not ready yet. What are you going to do to be ready?
Yeah.
You know, if they'd have been ready when they got the traffic ticket, they probably wouldn't have got the DWI. If they'd have been ready when they got the DWI, they probably wouldn't have started smuggling dope. If they'd have been ready when they started smacking their wife around or their spouse around, they probably wouldn't have been in jail for murder. Oh, we're just not ready yet. You ever anybody tell you that? That boggles my mind. You know why they do that? You got to go back to point number one, the deceived. You know what the devil tells them? You're having so much fun. I mean, we're in prison for 20 years. You got to be having fun, right? I mean, how stupid is it? The devil has, you have so much fun with your sin.
Right.
If you get saved, God's going to want you to quit sinning. I'm not just telling the truth. God's not going to make you quit sinning.
Yeah.
He's going to work you over.
Right.
But they're not ready. They're procrastinators. Oh, here's the worst type. The saddest type. I don't know what the worst type. The saddest type of procrastinator. So what can happen in a Baptist church? Oh, but it can. I've talked to Baptists. A lot of them. I've talked to Baptists, been in Baptist churches 50, 60 years that couldn't tell you how to get to heaven, let alone where they're going.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And there's no way on God's green earth you sit in a Baptist church for 50 years, maybe the newer ones that have been around the last 15, 20, but you ain't no way you can sit there 50 years and not know how to get to heaven. No way. No way. But something happens. Between that pulpit and their ears, something happens and they've got connections severed. Something doesn't get to them right. And they tell you, well, you know, I've done this, done that, done the other. But they never get around to talking about trusting Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. They never get around to that. The procrastinator, you know what some people do? They procrastinate because they think that everybody in the world that sees them is going to be, oh, it's going to be my testimony, is going to be shot. My life's going to be a shambles. If they find out I'm not really saved and I get saved now, everybody's going to think, what are they going to think? That's the devil going, don't do it.
Yep, that's right.
Wait till tomorrow.
Yep.
You know what they're going to think? You quit being a procrastinator, you got right with God, and you're going to heaven. Instead of going to hell where you burn forever because hell's permanent.
Yep.
Amen. I wish we had more people in here this morning. Amen. Just for this message, if they never come back, I care less. I just want them to hear the message. Because people need to know that hell is permanent.
Amen.
Permanent. You got people that'll be at the great white throne of judgment that have a perverted mindset. You got people that'll be at the great white throne of judgment that are proud and proud of what? Boy, they're just proud as proud can be, and they'll split hell wide open. You got the procrastinators. I'll just do it tomorrow. If I get saved now, I'd bet brag about it. Boy, somebody know I've been lost. Well, good night, man. They're going to know you lost in a lake of fire. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe saved folks will be there at the great white throne of judgment, and there'll be testimonies going on. I told them, Lord. Help, they told you. They'll be cast in a lake of fire. Oh, we got the ministry of reconciliation. That means we just lovey, 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 dovey. No, no, no. If you love somebody, you give them the truth. And the truth is, we're all wicked. We all deserve to go to hell, but we don't have to if you trust Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. But if they reject Jesus Christ, they'll burn in hell forever. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, Gateway Baptist Church is not going to pull you any favors at the judgment, at the Great White Throne Judgment. I went to Gateway Baptist. God don't care. What He cares is whether or not you went to Jesus Christ, whether or not you went to Calvary, and said, Lord, forgive me and save me. I mean, if being in church was what got you saved, I'd be out there lassoing people, dragging them in. Amen. Being in Christ is what saves you. Being a Baptist don't save you.
Amen.
Being in Christ saves you.
Right.
Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. Three people, three types of people. The perverted mindset, the proud, and the procrastinators. Look, if you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm talking to you. This is not about being a part of Gateway Baptist Church. It's not about putting money in a plate. It's not about your family. It's not about your history in church. It's not about anything that somebody else told you that, you know, or some kind of good thing that you've done. It's about whether or not you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Whether or not you realized you're a sinner, for all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. Whether or not realizing that, you realize He died for your sins, He shed His blood, He was buried, and He rose again. He come back out of that grave with victory so you could have eternal life. And you realizing that, you called on Him and said, Lord, forgive me and save me. I'm trusting You and You alone. If you've never done that, let me tell you, you'll split hell wide open, and hell is permanent. You will never get out. And I love you, and I don't want to see that happen to you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you need to do that now. While your head's bowed and your eyes closed, just call on Him and ask Him to forgive you and save you. Tell Him you're trusting Him. Don't let the devil steal this from you. Don't let the devil put you in hell forever. Don't let him help you make the wrong decision. You want to do that on your own. But God says make the right decision. Call on Jesus Christ. Call on Him today. A few minutes of silence. If you haven't done business with God on your salvation, do it today. He's calling you. If you're lost, He wants you to get saved. If you're saved, He wants you to draw close to Him. It doesn't matter if your whole family's saved. It's are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the free gift? Don't leave here lost. We're out of God's will. Maybe you just want to slip out of your seat and walk up front and say, hey, I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Maybe you want to slip out of your seat and come forward and say, hey, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want to have that ministry of reconciliation God has given me. I want to use it. I want to utilize it. I want to be the witness He wants me to be. Maybe I'll just slip out and come down the aisle and just tell the whole church, hey, look, I want to be an example of wanting to do right. Most importantly, if you never trusted Jesus Christ, trust Him today.